Chapter 24. The Corrim was startled. Skipper strolled into Brockhall, followed by a Ferris. Before Lady Amber could fuss out a bow, or Bella pick up a poker to strike the foe, Skipper addressed them heartily.
Mates, don't get your ropes in a tangle. This here ferret is an otter. Meet my brother, the Mask.
The Mask bowed low. Stripping the bindings from his ears, he removed the bark slivers that sharpened his muzzle, pulled out the wicked eye teeth and undid his imitation tail. Bella pounded the sides of a chair with a heavy paw.
Wonderful! He is indeed an otter. Welcome to Brockhall, Mr. Mask.
Abbess Germaine seated the otter, placing food and drink before him.
So you are the Mask. I have lived long and seen strange things, but never one as strange as you, though I hope you will forgive me for saying so, sir.
Mask shook the abbess warmly by the paw.
It is a strange world, ma'am, you will forgive me saying, but never have I seen such friendly and gentle mice as you and your oddly dressed followers.
Skipper patted Mask on the back.
Friends, you wouldn't believe your eyes if you saw old Mask in some of the get-ups I've seen him in.
Oh, tell us, Skip.
Columbine leaned forward eagerly. Skipper took a draught of cider from Mask's cup.
I couldn't begin to tell you all this one's disguises, but just as an instance, he gave me the slip coming through the forest. I looked high and low for him. There was the old deceiver, stood right next to me, up against a tree, got up as a piece of bark, would you believe?
Spike and Posy clung to Columbine's habit, staring wide-eyed at the strange otter.
Did you really, Mr. Mask, sir?
Spike asked. Mask chuckled as he fed them a slice of apple each.
Oh, why, that's an easy one. All you need is an old piece of bark as big as yourself and the right tree. You just stand there and think the same thoughts as the tree and presto.
What others can you do, sir?
Posy wanted to know.
Oh, a fox, a squirrel, a hedgehog like you even. You name it. Otters are pretty hard to do, though. Funny tales, you see.
Could you be a bird?
Spike inquired.
Well, let's say I'm practicing that one, shall we?
A stoat or a rat, then?
Posy persisted.
No trouble. They're the easiest to do. It's all a question of studying shape, really.
Abbess Germaine was impressed.
You say you could look like a stoat, weasel, or even a fox?
The Mask winked.
Indeed I can, marm. That's why I'm here.
Early evening shadows were beginning to lengthen across the plain. Dinny looked to the mountains on the horizon and judged the distance shrewdly.
We'm be very close to yon mountains on tomorrow, Martin.
The warrior mouse glanced toward the Mast Rock.
So we will, Din. As to how we'll cross them, I'm at a loss. Look at the size of them. They almost disappear into the sky.
Don't you worry, mateys,
Gomp said confidently.
We haven't come this far to be beaten by an old stone hill. Besides, we don't have to worry about those vermin following us. The swan's probably dealt with them.
Dinny's snout rose into the air.
Oh, he must smellin' more water through he pores again.
What? More water, Din?
Martin asked.
Brr, aye, running water this time.
Best keep our eyes skinned for swans, eh, mateys?
Gomph warned.
Oh, or don't want to see squans no more.
Gomph was first to find the broad stream. It was not quite wide enough to be classed as a river. The mouse thief strode down the bank and recited aloud to the flowing waters.
O'er golden acres far below, our wings beat strong and true. Where deep and wet see flowing yet another snake of blue.
Martin looked to the opposite bank.
It seems peaceful enough, but it's far too wide to cross here. We'll camp here tonight and scout the bank for an easier crossing in the morning.
The mild spring evening was very pleasant by the water. Dinny scooped out a circle while Martin set flint to the steel of his broken sword and started a small fire. Gonf repaired his fishing line. Within a short time, he landed a plump young bream. The three travellers sat around the fire, watching the fish grilling in a cradle of green reeds over the flames. Firelight flickered and danced in Dinny's button-like eyes.
Warm fur! I do likes warm.
Gonf tested the fish with his knife point.
It'll be ready soon, mateys. A little loaf apiece toasted up, some cress from the water's edge, a beaker of fresh stream water, and we're snug for the night.
The stream gurgled and eddied ceaselessly toward the distant mountains as they enjoyed a spell of rest on its soft mossy bank. Splitnose and Blacktooth had wandered aimlessly. Without Scratch to direct them, they were lost. Night found the pair out upon the open plain, hungry, tired and thirsty. Splitnose lay down, snuggling sleepily against the grass. Blacktooth was restless.
Ha! I'm not sleeping out in the open again. There must be a hole or a cave hereabouts. Might be a bite of grub, too.
Oh, lie down and get some rest,
Splitnose murmured sleepily.
You're as bad as Claddle Scratch. Get some sleep and we'll see what it's like round here in the morning. I'm not moving. Might even sleep late, too.
Blacktooth moved off.
Right, you stay here. I'll be back if I can't find something better. I could swear there's water running nearby. I'll go and take a look.
Mind the swans don't eat you.
Splitnose called out, his eyes still closed. Blacktooth was back sooner than expected. He danced about, giggling quietly to himself.
Splitty! Hey, come on, Snoreface, wake up! Guess what I found?
The stoat grumbled as his companion shook him awake.
Two frogs and a dandelion. Now beat it, will you? I need sleep.
The ferret could not contain his excitement.
I found a big stream, a camp, a fire and food. And those two mice in the mole.
Splitnose came awake.
Where?
Not far. Over that way a bit. Listen, if we're quick and quiet, we can take them prisoner.
The stoat leapt up.
Great! You say they've got food and a fire?
Yes, half a roast fish, packs too, full of goodies.
Blacktooth told him.
You know those woodlanders, they love their rations.
We could march them back to Katia.
Aye, could you imagine old Clad's face when we walk in with three prisoners? The Queen would probably make us generals. Oh, I'd give that Clad a few dirty jobs to do. I'd make him jump.
Right, Blackie mate, lead me to him.
They sneaked silently across to the riverbank, armed with their spears. The three friends lay asleep around the fire, unaware of the eyes that watched them from the top of the bank. Fortunata struck deeper into Mossflower, aware that Sarmina was watching her from the high chamber window. The vixen had cast off her borrowed finery from Katia, reverting to the frayed old healer's cloak and bag of herbal remedies. She leaned heavily upon an ash staff. Fortunata was more suited to this type of work. She preferred subterfuge to warfare. Besides, the rewards promised were greater. Sarmina moved from the window to ring her table bell. Clud entered, saluting with shield and spear.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Get somebody to clean this room up. It's filthy. Drill the troops and keep them on the alert. They're not here to eat me out of house and home. Oh, get a foraging party together. We must keep something in the larders if we want to outlast the woodlanders.
Clud saluted again.
It shall be done, milady.
The Wildcat Queen settled back in her chair. Now was the time to play the waiting game. Columbine lay behind a screen of bushes, nibbling a green hazelnut. The mouse maid often volunteered to go on watch outside Brockhall, imagining herself to be the first to sight the traveller's return. That gonf! He would probably come back singing at the top of his voice.
I'm back, Columbine. Yes, now is the hour. My good friends and I will be saving Mossflower.
Or some such cheery air. Columbine lay watching sun motes dancing through dappled patterns of green leaves, dreaming of her thief. Then she sighted the fox. It was a vixen, dressed like a journeying healer. The fox cast about, sniffing here, inspecting a scuffed leaf there, obviously searching for somebody or something. Columbine slid silently away from her hiding place. Once she was out of the fox's vision, she took to her paws, dashing headlong back to Brockhall. Shooing some little ones inside, she shut the door and bolted it. It was lunchtime. Loam Hedge mice were serving up hazelnut cloister pudding with willow herb sauce. Columbine made straight for Bella.
Fox! Fox, coming this way!
She panted. Skipper put a restraining paw on her.
Whoa there! What fox? Coming from where?
Out in the woods. Coming from the northwest, sniffing and probing. It's a vixen. She'll find a way here soon unless we stop her.
Lady Amber mopped up sauce with a crust.
A vixen, hey? Did you recognise her, Columbine?
Oh, yes. It's the one they call Fortunata, though she's disguised herself up a bit. I recognised her at the ambush.
An old raggedy cloak and hood?
Bella interrupted.
Together with a bag of herbs and a staff?
Columbine nodded.
The old pilgrim healer disguise. Wearing a bit thin, eh, Mask?
The badger chuckled dryly. The otter looked up from his pudding.
What are you going to do about her?
Lady Amber reached for a quiver.
A swift arrow in the right place should save any argument.
Skipper poured his sling.
Either that or a sharp rock on her stem.
Mask stood up, patting a full stomach.
Miss Badger, why don't you let me deal with this? It may help with our escape plans for the prisoners.
Bella pushed food toward Columbine.
Here, little one, have some lunch. Go on, Mask, tell us the plan.
The otter had his back to them. He was selecting disguises.
I say let her come. See what she wants, but don't let her know who I am. Pretend that I'm a newcomer.
When he turned to face the Corran, Mask was indeed a newcomer. He was transformed into the most evil, slim, grey old fox they had ever seen. The mask slid into Bella's study to complete his disguise.
Find the right tail, rub a little brown dust into my coat, and see to the finer bits. Ha! She won't be able to tell me from her own grandpa when I'm finished.
Right, we've got you! Don't try anything funny or we'll skewer this mole!
Martin opened his eyes. The ferret and the stoat were standing over Dinny, their spear points at his throat. The warrior mouse was about to jump instinctively for them, but Gonf discouraged him.
Do as he says, matey. They've taken us by surprise.
All three lay quite still. Blacknose smirked with satisfaction.
I'll keep the mole pinned down, Splitty. Look through that pack over there and see if you can find some cord.
Splitnose scuttled off and rummaged in the pack.
Even better, mate. Look, a rope,
he called.
Give it here and keep your spear on the mole. Stick him if he moves.
Blacktooth wound the rope round the travellers. Binding them together, he tugged the end to make sure it was tightly secured. Picking up his spear, he strutted around them.
Ha! You're our prisoners now. You'll pay for breaking the laws of Katir and leading us on a wild goose chase. Be still.
Splitnose was emptying the supply packs out.
Oh, look! Apples, bread, cheese, pie.
Blacktooth threw extra fuel on the fire and crammed food wolfishly into his mouth while menacing them with his spear.
Aye, this is more like it, Splinty.
He enthused.
Come and get warm by the fire.
Gonf winked at Martin and whispered.
Leave it to me, matey. I'll settle these two idiots.
Blacktooth yanked sharply on the rope's end.
No talking there. One more peep out of you and you'll be sorry. Do you hear me?
Gonf shrugged as best as he could.
Don't worry, Captain. You've got us all right. But please don't eat all our supplies. We'll have nothing left to keep alive on.
Splitnose threw an apple core at Gonf and bit into a cheese.
Oh, stop moaning, Mouse. Look at us. We've lived on one skinny crust and grass for the last few days. This is good cheese. Hey, a fruitcake. By the claw, that'll do for me.
Come on, greedy guts, offer me.
Blacktooth prodded Splitnose with his spear.
Get your own fat belly.
Splitnose retorted.
Why? You gluttonous worm!
Ouch! You keep that spear point away from me, rotten guns!
That's the stuff, matey!
Gonf called out encouragingly.
You show him the store to the bosses!
Blacktooth was about to stab Gonf with his spear when Splitnose jabbed him in the bottom with his spear point. Martin took Blacktooth's side.
Don't let him do that to you, ferret! Get him!
Dinny supported Splitnose.
He be nowt but a girt bully. Jump on ferret's tunnel, scout!
Blacktooth cracked Splitnose across the head with his spear shaft. Splitnose retaliated by stabbing Blacktooth in the paw. The three friends egged them on with loud shouts.
You've got him now, stab!
That's it, keep him pinned down!
Get his throat with your teeth!
Shove him in the fire, quick!
Filled with blind rage, the stoat and ferret battled all over the campsite, rolling through the fire, splashing in the shallows, stumbling against the captives, oblivious to all except the desire to slay.
Take that, stoat swine!
Oh, you won't push me around any more, ferret face! Get this!
Blacktooth fell, pierced by his opponent's spear. Splitnose backed off, dropping his spear and stumbling further into the shallows. Blacktooth pulled himself upright and staggered toward his foe. Splitnose blundered into deeper water, unarmed, holding his paws out pleadingly.
Plecky, no, I didn't mean it.
The ferret tottered unsteadily into the water, lifted the spear to throw and fell dead into the shallows. Splitnose kept backing off as if in a daze.
I didn't mean to. Blackie, honest. You can have half the...
Suddenly, he was gone. All that remained was Blacktooth the ferret, face down in the shallows of the swirling stream. The three friends had fallen over. They lay bound, gazing at the water where Splitnose had been a moment before.
Pitholes, matey. Full of bottom mud,
Gonf explained.
We'll have to remember that when we cross.
Dinny wriggled.
Uzzles have to set about thinking how to free yourselves.
Martin wrenched round to face Gonf.
Any ideas?
The mouse thief smiled in the darkness.
Stay still. I can reach me dagger. Didn't I ever tell you, matey? I'm a prince of escapers.
Martin felt the blade soaring at their bonds.
Aye. I seem to remember you saying something of the sort in the cells at Katir, matey.
The ropes fell away under Gonf's keen blade. He stood upright.
I was right that time too, if you remember,
Gonf pointed out. Dinny straightened up.
Though you make the boast about it.
They took stock of the damage. Martin threw a trampled cheese to one side.
They've ruined our supplies,
he said with disgust.
Most of the food's rolled into the water with them. Look, even the fish fell in the fire.
He held up a smoking relic. Gonf pushed Blacktooth's carcass into the fast-flowing water.
It could have been worse, matey. At least we're alive.
Dinny blew on the embers, adding dry reeds and wood.
No way, Martin. Uzzles make out all right, he'll see.